Rob Burton's a partner at the Venable Law Firm and former deputy administrator of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy and studying the numbers around the rise of bid protests. I continue to hear the argument, Rob, that bid protests are going up and causing problems for agencies and causing problems for vendors, but the fact that protests are increasing is not necessarily a bad thing. You think that's a reasonable argument, Rob? Thanks for being on today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Francis. I appreciate it. Well, the truth is, most procurements are not protested. I think only 1% of the federal government's procurements are protested. But the trend, as far as the number of protests, is going up. I think in FY 2014, there was a 5% increase, which is significant when you consider the fact that federal spending and contract awards are decreasing. And I know the contracting officers in the federal government are very concerned about protests because they clearly do slow things down. And, contracting officers really would like to avoid protests. But the truth is, it's not that big a percentage of our entire procurement world. But it is important for contractors. It gives them an avenue of redress. It's something that makes our procurement system and the federal government differ from the private sector. And contracting officers worry about it. They worry about getting a protest.
The protest population being at 1% is fairly significant because I think it puts the lie to this perception that people have that every deal's protested. And I hear that when I talk to folks in industry a lot. I mean, a lot of people act as though, at least anecdotally, everything's being protested. Like, whatever they're going to bid on, they're building in time and, in some cases, expense for a protest if it comes down to that.
Yeah, and Francis, is just not true. And I have a lot of clients that simply will not file a protest regardless. Sometimes I feel like maybe they should, but they simply will not. There's concern about retribution. There's concern about having a stigma that you're just a complainer. Especially small businesses, they just don't have the resources and they just don't want to take the risk that there might be some type of fallout from them filing a bid protest.
You and I spoke not too long ago about the new Acquisition 360 that Ann Rung's rolling out at your old office, OFPP. And now that we've had a little bit of time to kind of reflect on it and see what it means, is it your sense that there's a framework there, at least, for better briefings from the agencies to the vendors to help folks understand right when they didn't get a deal, why they didn't get a deal, and to maybe make that 1% number go even lower?
Well, I really do think this is one area where our procurement system can be improved dramatically. Since I've been in the private sector, I have seen so many poor debriefings, post-award debriefings by federal agencies. It's just unbelievable. And the FAR does not require for schedule buys robust debriefings. You just have to have a short written statement about why you lost, and that's about it. And if contractors really understood why they lost, if there was more transparency and more robust debriefings, oral debriefings are certainly much better than a written debriefing, where there's give and take and you can really understand why you lost. Most contractors will not file a protest. And in most procurements, the government has a good rationale for the award decision. They're bad about communicating what that decision is and why that decision was made. So I really do think that this is one area agencies could really improve upon and, yes, reduce the number of bid protests.
I can see where an agency might say, well, we don't have the time to bring in every vendor who didn't get a deal and explain to them why they didn't get it to do an oral debrief like you're suggesting. But I wonder, given some of the time and especially the expense that's eaten up with protests, I wonder if anybody's ever done a cost-benefit analysis to doing that to see what you would avoid by giving vendors more information like that. And the other thing that you mentioned, you said the FAR doesn't require it. A detailed debriefing, but that doesn't mean you can't do it.
Oh, absolutely. Good point. It's agency discretion. Let me give you an example here just recently at an agency where the attorney invited me in and said, we will invite you in. We will let you sit down and look at the record, redacting some proprietary information, of course. But take a look for yourself. And that is very innovative, and we decided not to file a protest based upon that review. Agencies need to be, I think, a little bit more proactive. And you're right. I'm sure they have never done a cost-benefit analysis. But the little time that takes, an hour or whatever, it's well worth it. And it saves industry resources and definitely saves the government time and expense.
Rob Burton, Venable, the former deputy OFPP administrator, among other procurement executive positions in government. What do you think a good briefing would look like, or does look like, some of those that you've mentioned, from agency to vendor? What are the topics that are included? What's the depth of information that's required to make it valuable enough that the vendor can make an educated decision about whether to proceed with a protest or not?
Well, you know, and of course, the purpose of the briefing is not just to decide whether to file a protest. It really is also to educate the contractor on what they did wrong so they will be more competitive in the future. And a lot of companies really do appreciate that information and use it to be more competitive in the future. It's not really just used as a vehicle to a bid protest. But in answer to your question, they want to know exactly what was wrong with their proposal, where they could improve. And you can't, generally, the agencies will not go into great depth about why the person that won, but they will talk about why you lost. And by implication, you can figure out what the other person probably had that you didn't with respect to qualifications. And talking more about specific examples as to why you did not meet the criteria in the solicitation, why you failed to live up to what the agency was really asking for in the evaluation criteria. That is just so important, that dialogue. And you can't really do it in writing. And that's why really in a world debriefing is so critical.
Why do you think most agencies aren't willing to do it? I speculated a few minutes ago, but you certainly know this area better than I do.
Well, I do think there's a bit of unjustified paranoia. I think that some agencies really think that the lawyers are going to find something wrong. They feel like they start losing confidence in their own decision. And they think, wow, if we bring the lawyers in here, the lawyers are going to be looking real carefully. They'll find something. And some lawyers don't. They're not exactly helpful, I have to admit. And agency attorneys and private sector attorneys, they're not necessarily looking for a resolution or trying to be helpful. And generally speaking, the lawyers probably don't contribute to the debriefing on either side. I don't know. I think generally speaking, it's good not to have a lawyer present at the debriefing. But the concern by the contracting personnel is that it's going to turn into a legal battle. And the lawyers oftentimes recommend that they say nothing. The lawyer in the government will oftentimes recommend just don't say anything because there's this paranoia that's going to somehow be used against you. I don't think it's well-founded. I really don't. And I think just honest communication and just you should be able to support your decision. You should be confident about your decision, and the government should articulate it with some type of confidence, in which case I think the contractor will not file a protest.
Is it going to take some kind of mandate from OMB, from OFPP, to start to make that happen, though, if that's even the desire of the government? Because it doesn't appear that that's happening now, for sure, in many places. And it certainly doesn't appear that it will happen if left to each agency's individual preferences.
We know OFPP just came out with this, as you mentioned, it's called the 360, where they're going to get feedback from industry on things like debriefings. You know, how's this agency doing with respect to debriefings? Were you satisfied with the debriefing that you received? I hope contractors will be very honest in that regard. And I think some of this will be anonymous feedback as well. And I hope they're honest and say, no, the debriefing really was not very helpful at all. That kind of feedback, if OFPP gets that kind of feedback, I think they will start pressuring agencies to be a little bit more open with respect to the debriefings and helpful with respect to the information provided.